Penguin Random House Canada presents The After Dark by E. Latimer. Read for you by Amanda Cordner, Emily Nixon, and Tom Nias. For All the Girls and Forest Cryptids, E.L. Chapter 1. Evie. There's a single solar lamp at the end of the dock, casting watery shadows over the black surface of the lake. The water is cold despite the mid-August warmth, and when I dip my feet in, goosebumps run up both my arms. It should be relaxing, trailing the lens of my camera over the water, watching the lights from the cabin behind me flicker over the surface. But pounding bass slips out from cracked windows, laughter spilling out with it. The sound of someone screaming rises sharply and then tapers off. The party is going full swing without me. Behind me, the dock creaks and sways and I stiffen, lowering my camera. I know who it is without turning. Come on, don't be like that. Leave, Ada. I don't move. What, like you actually cared about Adam? Her voice is flat, but I can tell she's amused. You were going to get married? I push myself up and turn around. My twin stands at the end of the dock, hands on her hips. Her dress, dark green and overly tight, is twisted around, like she yanked it up while running after me. Her bleached blonde hair is disheveled from rolling around in bed with him. I don't care about him. I was bored. We kissed. It wasn't anything deeper. What bothers me is her. Why do you do this? She thrives on this. I can see it. The way her eyes glitter as she steps closer, the cruel smile etched across her face. For the first time, I notice the bottle in her hand, the way she sways on her feet. It's not just the movement of the dock. Because it's fun. The way she says it, dripping with mockery, makes something start up deep in the pit of my stomach. A buzz of dark excitement. It wants me to unsheath my claws, charge across the dock and seize her by the throat. I can picture it. Shoving her over the side, the muscles in my arms flexing as I grit my teeth and force her head under, watching while she thrashes until she goes limp. The thought is clear in my mind. It would be so easy. But I shove it firmly away. I'm used to wrestling with the impulses. The thing inside me wants Ada's blood. Has always wanted it. I think about killing her. I dream about it. But she isn't worth violence. I have to deal with her for another 2 weeks and then she's gone. Shipping off to boarding school. When I go to shove past her, she steps into my path. Stop being such a baby. Anger blooms in the pit of my stomach, poisonous and fanged. I rip my arm away. Stop! I can't do this. If I engage, I don't know what I'll do. Just leave me alone. I try to push past her again, and she grabs my shoulder, nails digging into my skin. I want to talk. I twist in her grip, and my hand catches on her necklace. It gives way with a sharp tug, and my palm stings as the necklace clatters on the dock. The cross glimmers on the boards at our feet, and Ada's expression turns ugly. I know her. I know the bottle will come up before it does, clenched in one fist, beer dripping amber trails down her arm. I can sense it. I duck, and there's a hissing whoosh above my head. What would it have been this time? 16 stitches? A story about how I tripped on the dock? There are only so many excuses Dad can make for her. I can't help myself. I turn on her, teeth bared in a smile. You keep trying, but you're so bad at this. Ada lets out a scream of frustration, swinging a second time, bottle wobbling in her hand. She's drunker than I'd realized, and when I step out of the way, her momentum takes her past me. She staggers, high heel catching on the boards. The bottle shatters on the dock as she lets out a startled grunt. There's a nasty crack, her ankle or the shoe, and then she pitches forward, arms pinwheeling. What happens next is so fast it's difficult to see. Ada hits the edge of the dock with a terrible thud, boards shaking under my feet. I get a brief impression, a flash of white blonde hair and pale limbs, one red stiletto jutting in the air, and then she crashes through the surface of the water and disappears. She doesn't scream when she goes under. She doesn't thrash. For a second, I stand there, stunned, realizing I've just seen her hit the edge of the dock so hard it shuddered under my feet. I rush to the edge, heart drumming furiously against my ribcage. With my back to the solar lamp, it takes a minute for my eyes to adjust, to spot the dark shape in the water. It looks like driftwood at first, a log floating below the surface. And then I see pale hair like bleached seaweed under the weak light. She's on her back, suspended in the glassy darkness. I blink, trying to clear my vision as the water around her goes even blacker. Leaning forward, the camera strap drags on the back of my neck, and the light behind me shifts. Blood. It's Ada's blood, billowing around her, turning the lake crimson. She struck her face on the dock as she went down. There are no tides in the lake, no currents to push her, but she drifts closer. Close enough that I can see the wound on her forehead, an ugly gash just below her hairline. Blood thunders in my ears as I tug the strap of my camera up and over my head, setting it gently on the dock. Then I stretch out, leaning so far that cold lake water soaks into my sleeves, the chill leaching into my bones. It makes my left arm ache, the scars throbbing. I don't move, willing her closer. I can't swim. Of course, I could call someone. But deep down, I know it's too late. They won't get here in time. Even running back to the house won't save her. It's eerie, the way she stays close to the surface, eyes wide and staring as she bleeds into the lake. I'm half expecting one pale hand to shoot out and grab my throat, a siren pulling me under, drowning me. But she doesn't move. Looking at her, I can see only myself, a warped, bleeding reflection in the black water below. When she blinks, I blink. When her lips twitch, mine do too. I'm watching myself drown. I should move, but numbness spreads through me, weighs me down. Should I be panicking? And then Ada coughs, and the noise is terrible, a rattling, gurgling sound that makes me realize water is lapping over her mouth and nose. She slipped deeper under the surface. One arm twitches in the water, the movement so jerky it takes me a second to realize she's trying to swim. Her face is pale and blank, mouth open and gasping as she claws her way back up. She resurfaces once, twice. After the third time, Ada slides under almost gracefully, gray eyes fixed on my face as the water closes over her. I wait for her to come back up, to break the surface, gasping and sputtering curses at me. But the water is still, an unbroken pane of glass. It stretches out flat and dark, disappearing into mist on the opposite bank. And I don't know how, but I can feel it. The absence of her. An emptiness that rings in my ears and makes my core feel strangely light. Ada is gone. I'm alone again, hanging over the edge of the dock, the faint noises of the party washing over me. a chill.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?